WFSU-FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the September 9th luncheon meeting of the Capital Tiger Bay Club. This program, recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee, features a debate between the two finalists for the Florida House District 9 seat, Democrat Loran Osley and Republican Jim Messer. Now, to introduce the program, here's Capital Tiger Bay Club President Steve Burtman.
In the news, the city of Tallahassee's electric outage map has been incredibly helpful during this crisis. It has shown the real-time location of Bigfoot, the University of Florida's offense, and the Corinne Brown's legal defense team. On that note, I did speak with Commissioner Daley about his public criticisms and lack of power. And he believes he's going to get his power back, possibly by Halloween. But on a positive note, he mentioned there were no felled trees on the sidewalks of Live Oak Plantation. Folks, CNN just reported that great sex leads to heart disease. It's good to know that my replacement, Jeff Ryan's wife, is going to live a long and happy life. He wrote that one by. On a personal note, I am so glad life is returning to normal. I don't know about you, but it's exhausting having to pretend to be nice and care about people that are around you. Please give a warm round of applause to our moderator, Steve Mosquet, El Presidente for Life of the Capitol Bureau for the Tampa Bay Times. Let's get started. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you. It's good to be back. And thanks for coming today. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Well, many of you know the two candidates up here with me, but I'll briefly make introductions of both. Loran Osley is a sixth-generation Floridian. You'll remember that she served in the Florida House of Representatives from 2002 to 2010 and was the Democratic candidate for state chief financial officer in 2010. She has a law degree from Washington and Lee School of Law in Virginia. In fact, what an odd coincidence. We have two candidates who both have degrees from Washington and Lee. Jim Messer studied economics there before going to law school. Jim Messer grew up in Tallahassee, is a 1980 Lincoln High School graduate, and was an Army helicopter pilot, rising to the rank of captain, and got his law degree from Mercer University in 93, and is a board-certified civil trial attorney. So, very briefly about the ground rules. You're each going to have a chance to make an opening statement for up to about 90 seconds. After that, I'll pose questions to both candidates. You'll have about a minute to respond to each question, and I'll alternate the questions as we go along. As in previous forums like this, if one of you makes a personal comment directed at your opponent by name, that person will have 30 seconds to rebut that comment, and we'll have closing statements as we wrap up the program. So, the candidates drew lots, and Loran Osley won the opportunity to make the first closing statement. So, Loran Osley, the forum is yours.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, and good afternoon to my fellow Tiger Bay members. What a week this has been. It's hard to believe it was 7 days ago when each of us sort of opened our doors to look in our yards and on our streets to see what we would find. And this week has certainly offered its fair share of frustration and suffering and anger and finger pointing. But I think it's safe to say that we've weathered the storm. And we've weathered the storm because we're a strong community. We look out for our neighbors, we care for each other, and I think we're all grateful to the men and women who have worked around the clock, from first responders to linemen, to make sure that we can return to some normalcy, at least some of us, right? So we're all fortunate to call Tallahassee home. I've had the honor of serving in this community in the legislature for 8 years. where I earned a reputation by working across the aisle as a strong voice for state employees, a champion for Florida's kids, and a legislator who got things done. I'm running because I am concerned about what I see as a broken political system. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't believe that we could change that with more balance, with more seasoned, responsible leadership. We can fix it. And I can't sit on the sidelines without trying to be a part of the solution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's great to be here at Tiger Bay, and it's great to be back in the 21st century with electricity, or at least I thought I was until the limb came down last night and sent us back into pioneer days. It's nice to be here to be able to talk to you and to say that I'm running for the Florida House of Representatives because it's time that our district was relevant again in the legislature. That's why it's time for a change. You heard a little bit about me. I grew up here in Tallahassee, married my high school sweetheart, Laurie Strickland, married 31 years, went to college, graduated, spent 6 years in the Army. I was a helicopter pilot and operations officer, went to law school, and came back here in 1995 because I love Tallahassee. And I love the school system here. Raised three wonderful children here in Tallahassee and got to a point to where I decided I needed to do something about our status as citizens in this district. For the last 20 years, our representatives have been stuck in the back of the chamber, stuck on the back row. And because of that, we haven't been able to get the benefits that we so deserve in this district. Pay increases for state employees, capital dollars to move our economy, and job creation dollars to work down crime. We can't do it from the back of the chamber. We need someone who's in the majority working for every single person in this district. I can be that person working in the majority, and that's why I'm the better candidate to be your representative in the House of Representatives.
Okay, thanks very much. We've got a lot of questions on a lot of different topics, and most of them, all of them are substantive, but a couple are lightning round questions where I'll ask for and hope to get very short and direct answers. We're going to start with you, Jim Messer. If you're elected to the Florida legislature in November, you'll get to spend our money. So let's start with a softball question. What's the size of the current state budget?
Current state budget is about approximately $74 billion, and we get about 30% of it from federal dollars. It seems like a lot of money. The problem is that the budget office has already projected next year that we'll have revenues that are only about $7.5 million more than this year. And in 2018, we're going to see a budget shortfall of $150 million. The problem with that means is that there's not a lot of money to go around. And the problem with that is that if we're going to get the benefits, the one that I talked about that we need here, a pay increase for state employees, then we've got to have someone there that's in the room that can work to get that. And state employees deserve a pay increase. They're the leanest in the country, the most efficient, and they get a pay increase and they spend it here on your businesses, in your stores, in your restaurants, buying cars, buying houses. But we need to have someone that can get that done, and we need to be able to do it within the budget that we have. I can do that, and that's going to be my number one priority, pay increase for state employees.
Okay, Loran Ausley, is Jim Messer right when he says the state budget is $74 billion?
According to the calculations that I looked at yesterday, the state budget is $82 billion. $30 billion of general revenue, and the general revenue has not increased that much, but it's the federal that has.
Okay, yeah, the current state budget is about $82.3 billion. Loran Ausley, this question is for you, and you alluded to this in your opening statements, both of you did. We're all still digging out and cleaning up from Hermine. Who would have guessed that Hermine would be a household word in Tallahassee? And while we all love our beautiful trees here, this past week has been a reminder of how much havoc those beautiful trees can create during a serious storm. What I want you to do first, Loran Ausley, is to assess the response to this storm by both the state and the city and compare and contrast those two responses.
Just an easy question. Okay. There. Let's just start by saying I totally understand the frustration and anger that's out there. We were without power for not very long. We got it back. But I hate that this has taken away from the good that we have been able to, that I've seen, neighbors coming together. On our street, three houses had trees, and there was just this spontaneous bucket brigade of people helping people get things off their roof. A day without power meant we actually talked to our neighbors. first responders, public health, emergency management, utility workers working around the clock. I don't think it's for me to defend or criticize anything that's going on. We need a better communication plan. There's no question about that. And we need a full review of the restoration process and how we can improve it. But I don't feel like I'm in a position to either, again, defend or criticize any of the actions at this point.
Okay, Jim?
I think that the city did the best that they could with the plan that they had to bring power back to the folks here in Tallahassee. And we saw the same thing. Neighbors came together and they worked hard to get everything cleaned up. But the problem is, in Tallahassee, we're the capital city of the third largest state in the country. And when our city closes, it's not just small businesses that get hurt. It's not just people who are on the outlying areas that get hurt. When city government shuts down and state government shuts down, it closes the entire state down. The city had a plan, but the city didn't have a plan that was an effective plan. I think what the city needs to do is they need to revisit everything. She's correct that we need to review this. But we also need to make sure that we're not saying no as many times as the city seems to say, and say yes and bring in more utilities and more resources so that we can get our power lines back up and running. Whether it's investor-owned utilities or co-ops or municipalities, we need to have a plan that can allow us to get power back up faster so that the city runs and the state runs.
Okay. This question is for you first, Jim Messer. Governor Rick Scott prides himself on having cut total state jobs every year he's been in office. And 2 years ago, he boasted that Florida had fewer public employees working for the state per 100,000 residents than any other state in the country. Do you share Governor Rick Scott's pride in making the state workforce as small as possible, and why?
You know, we do have the leanest state workforce in the country. We have fewer employees per capita than any other state in America. The problem with that is that we've cut fat and we've cut muscle, and now we're cutting bone. We're seeing that in our state, morale is down. We're seeing that turnover is up. And everyone knows that government isn't a growth industry, or it shouldn't be a growth industry outside of Washington, D.C. But in order to have good folks working for us, in order for us to be able to have the services that we need, we have to have employees that get paid a reasonable wage. And it has been a long time since they've seen a pay increase. Rick Scott thinks like a business person. Rick Scott's not beloved here in Tallahassee. Rick Scott will be gone in 2 years. Our state employees will still be there. We need good state employees working for us so that we can make our state run well. They deserve a pay increase. I'm going to be their champion on the floor of the House, and I'll be their champion in the majority.
So I agree. They need a pay increase. It's been 10 years. It's also, for the five of those 10 years, they've had an extra 3% pay cut in payroll tax. It's not just a pay increase that state employees need. It's respect. And we have a Republican governor and legislature that denigrate government at every chance. There is a hostility towards our public employees that is really perpetuated by this less government at all costs. When I was in the legislature, the state employees got a pay raise for every year up until the 2004. There was a $1,000 bonus, and then in 2007 there was a $1,000 bonus, and then in 2008 we started this tide of no increase at all. Now, I'm not saying I'm responsible for the pay increase, but I do believe we had a narrative where public employees and government was more respected, and I'm proud of that. And I think that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to this whole conversation about the role of government and how important the job that public employees do is to our community and to our state.
Okay. This next question is for you first, Lorraine Osley. You know, next session is going to feature the usual parade of pro-Second Amendment and pro-gun bills, and which come back year after year if they fail the year before, such as open carry and campus carry legislation, both of which were defeated in the 2016 session. My question is, I'd like you to speak generally to the influence the NRA has in the Florida legislature, and how would you vote, and what is your position on allowing college students to carry firearms on campus?
Okay, so family of gun owners, my dad's here. I recognize and support the Second Amendment. But in light of the increased gun violence that we've seen across our nation, we have to support common sense gun laws. Background checks, closing the loopholes, no fly, no buy, which is more of a federal issue, limits on high capacity magazines. I do not support guns on campus. I do not support the Docs and Glocks issue, trying to prevent doctors from talking to their patients. And I think we have to have a serious conversation about all of these issues.
Jim Messer.
The Second Amendment is an incredibly important right that we have in this country, but it needs to be tempered by reasonableness. I have come from a family that has hunted for generations. I spent time in the service. I understand how firearms work. And with that Second Amendment right comes that awesome responsibility to be careful with it. With respect to guns on campus by students, no. I think that's a bad idea. It just is not a good idea. But we have to balance our Second Amendment rights with the rights that people have in society to be able to both carry a gun and to be able to defend themselves. Criminals shouldn't have guns. Terrorists shouldn't have guns. People that have active and diagnosed mental issues are people that we should be very careful about letting have guns, but we need to be careful about balancing those specific issues. But yes, we do need common sense gun laws in Florida and common sense gun laws in our country.
Okay. This next question is for you first, Jim Messer. As you've pointed out numerous times already here today, state workers have had one across-the-board pay raise, one in the past decade. And you've spoken of your support for granting a pay raise to state workers in the next budget, but I and many people in this room know exactly how the game is played at the top of the hill. So here's the question. It's one thing to say you support a raise for state workers. My question to you, sir, is this directly. Will you commit right here today that you will vote against your party's budget and you will vote against the next state budget if it does not include an across-the-board pay raise for state workers?
You know, I got asked this question when I was downtown at a Food, Faith, and Friday meeting. And the folks asked me, they said, there's going to become a time when you get elected, when you're in there with a majority, and the majority says you need to move in a certain direction. And they said, what are you going to do when they tell you you need to move in that direction? I said, am I going to be able to get some sort of benefit that inures to my district, something that I can get to the people here in District 9? And they said, well, yeah, sure, I think you could probably do that. I said, then I'm going to compromise and I'm going to move with a majority to get something for the people in my district. And they said, no, you can't do that. You can never compromise. I said, well, then let's turn off the lights and go home. Because if we don't compromise in order to govern, we don't found this country to begin with. So, yes, there are going to be times when I'm going to have to move with a majority, but I'm going to compromise in order to bring a benefit back. Compromise didn't used to be a dirty word. Now it is. I can compromise and bring the benefits back to the district and still be a member of the majority.
Okay, excuse me one second, Ms. Osley. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question, Jim Messer, and ask you again if you'll commit to voting against the budget if it doesn't include an across-the-board pay hike for state workers.
You know, I don't know the answer to that question, if I can commit to voting against the budget, because the budget is going to include benefits to the district that I want to get to the district. And if I get elected, I'm going to be there at least 2 years, and I hope a lot longer. And that gives me the opportunity to go fight the next year to get the pay increase for state employees.
Okay. Lorraine Osley, you have the floor.
I think that's fair. He doesn't know what's in the budget. Yeah, I mean, it's not fair to ask that question because you don't know. And there may be something that he worked on his whole, I think the bottom line is there is a commitment here to support public employees. I've not voted for a budget that didn't include a pay raise. And usually that was a good reason to say no when there were some good things in there. But I've also done a lot of other work for public employees, including passing an increase in per diem and meal allowances, making sure that working with the universities to make sure that state employees can have free tuition for states to go to classes, and fought against privatization attempts. I mean, it's not just about the pay raise. It's about really creating an environment where there's not this hostility towards public government and public employees.
Okay. Thank you both for those thoughtful answers. I appreciate that. Lorraine Osley, this question is for you first. The legislature passed a law in the 2016 session that required doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals and to require more frequent state inspections of abortion clinics. The legislature also passed a budget that stripped out state funding to Planned Parenthood. Do you agree or disagree with these decisions and why?
I absolutely disagree with these decisions because I here's the thing. We have, I've worked for wonderful statesmen like Bob Graham and Lawton Childs and Buddy McKay who thought about long-term issues and thought about how to solve these long-term issues. We have a legislature now that is not thinking about long-term issues like Medicaid expansion and supporting education and how do we protect our natural resources. They're focused on these narrow partisan issues like attacking Planned Parenthood. And by the way, those attacks and defunding of Planned Parenthoods are quite relevant at this point when we have a Zika issue. I mean, that the Zika issue, which you're probably going to ask us about soon, is a very growing crisis. And the fact that we don't have fully funded health for women, pregnant women that might be facing Zika, is a very serious issue. So I'm absolutely opposed to those efforts.
Okay. Jim Messer?
The problem with the legislation with respect to defunding Planned Parenthood was that it was unconstitutional at the start. When I look at legislation, I use a three-part test. Is it constitutional? Does it have an adverse fiscal impact in the state? And is it a solution in search of a problem? The defunding of Planned Parenthood has been determined to be unconstitutional at the federal level, and the legislation was unconstitutional to begin with. And it doesn't make sense to vote for unconstitutional legislation just to have it wiped out. So no, I would not have voted for that. With respect to the Zika funding, that's a state issue in that we use all of the dollars that we can in order to try and wipe out this disease. But that's a federal problem, and that's one of the problems at the federal level, is our legislators in Congress cannot figure out a way to pass a single bill that will solve the problem and provide Zika funding. That's a problem that's going to be a problem for the state of Florida going forward because we can't trust our federal government to get things done that will help us. And, you know, until they do that, we're not going to get the funding that we need to stop Zika.
Jim Messer, give us one specific example of where you as a Republican disagree with your party's establishment views on an issue and where your philosophy is more in line with that of the Democratic Party.
You know, one of the things that I think about as a Republican, and when I get elected as a Republican and being in the majority, is that I am a Republican, but I'm not only defined by the Republican Party. What defines me first and foremost is being a citizen of Tallahassee, being a citizen of this district. And the Republican Party has not been kind to our state employees and has cut the workforce. But we've gotten to a point now where the workforce isn't as efficient as it was before. That's a distinction that I have with the Republican Party that's there now. But I also have the ability to get in that Republican Party and work with that caucus to get those benefits back, to get the respect that has been talked about for employees, and to work to get the benefits that we need. That's a difference between me and the Republican Party. But again, I define myself by the people that are in this room, by the people in this district, and know that I can represent everyone in the district, whether they're Democrats, independents, no party affiliation, and even Republicans.
Okay. And Lorraine Ausley, obviously my question to you is an example of where you as a Democrat disagree with your party's core beliefs on some issue where you're more in line with what the Republicans think.
I was really going to be able to answer that other question pretty well. I think we've got to get to a point where we're less about these polarizing issues and more about the issues that are in the middle, because the bottom line is most people are somewhere in the middle and they don't really care what party you are or where you come from. They just want you to solve their problems. So I think the places where I don't picture myself as someone who stands in the back of the chamber throwing bombs to try to get things done. It's really more about finding the common ground and where we can get things done together.
Okay, all right. This next softball question is for you, Lorraine Ausley. The Florida House is run by Republicans. Every major decision is made by Republicans, including how much money will be allocated to Leon County for its schools, roads, and Zika and other programs. The question is a simple one and an obvious one. Since Republicans are in control, why wouldn't the people of House District 9 be better served by having a representative from the majority party?
Well, it's a good question, but fortunately or unfortunately, I have a record. You can look at the record that of my service for 8 years, and you can see that I have a proven track record of 8 years in the legislature, strong working relationships with my colleagues in the House and the Senate and the staff, which is very important. I learned the rules, I learned the intricacies of the budget, how the process works, and I found ways to get important things done for District 9 despite being in the minority. Public employees, we've already talked about those issues, a champion for children, I passed a number of bills relating to child care safety and children with disabilities. You all know we have a son, Will, who's visually impaired, worked hard on those issues, created the children's cabinet, brought money home for Cascades, and worked with the state on disposition of state buildings. All of these as a member of the minority. I've done it before, and I can do it again.
Okay. Well, I need to recast the question a bit to you, Jim Messer, but
sure.
but the question, I want to give you an opportunity to explain and comment on the thrust of the question is, aren't the people of District 9 better served by having someone in the majority than by a Democrat? Even in a district, by the way, that has many more Democratic voters than Republicans. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we are better served by having a Republican. It's not that the Democrats are in the minority in the House of Representatives. It's that the Democrats are in a super minority in the House of Representatives. So everyone that's in this room, if you're a member of District 9, regardless of what party you're in, if you've been represented for the last 20 years by the folks that are there, you don't have any representation. You are part of the super minority. As part of the majority, I can get in the room and get things done. And I'll tell you, politicians that have a record have a record and have been there and have been there for 8 years, there's a reason that there are term limits. Term limits provide the ability for new blood and new ideas and new ways of thinking to come in and a new opportunity for the district. I don't have a record in the Florida House of Representatives. I've never run for office before. But I do have a love for this community, and I have a passion for the district, and I can make a difference in the majority that's governing with the supermajority today.
Okay. Next question is for you first, Jim Messer. Richard Corcoran, the incoming Speaker of the House, has told me directly in the last few days that this seat right here, this race, is being targeted by the Republicans as a seat they think they can reclaim after a long time this seat's been held by a Democrat, because in a presidential election year, the Republicans are looking at losing close races in other parts of the state, so they need places where they can win back a seat that they currently do not hold. So this is a targeted seat from the Republicans, according to Richard Corcoran. My question to you is this, Jim Messer. In 30 years of covering politics in the state, what that means to me is that down the stretch in October, we're going to see third-party groups flooding District 9 with mailers saying the most despicable things you can think of about Loranne Ausley, and maybe the reverse. But what is your approach and what will your philosophy be when third-party groups try to take over this race in the last few weeks?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't have a lot of control over third-party groups that I don't know anything about. And I've gone out and I have worked hard in this district, knocked on over 10,000 doors, have been calling people. I was the only candidate that qualified by petition. The way that I've done it is, I think it's more an old-fashioned way of doing it. Grassroots, ground effort. I haven't raised as much money as other candidates in this race have raised, but that gives me the opportunity to say that the only special interest that is important to me in this district are the people that are in this district. Because I don't have a track record where special interests know how people are going to behave, I haven't been able to get donations from big insurance or get donations from Big Sugar or people like that. If it comes down to third parties that are sending out improper information, then I'm going to say that's not right. But until I see what it is, there's really not much that I can comment on, and I haven't been approached by anyone to say that that's going to happen.
Loranne Ausley to respond.
What am I responding to?
Well, I mean, the question would, since we expect third-party groups to be very active in this race, if the Speaker of the House who's coming in is true to his word, that means that that they're going to lift any kind of spending limits. I guess the question would be how committed you think your party is to holding this seat for the next 2 years and beyond.
Well, I think this is an important seat, and it's important, we've talked about the priorities of this Republican legislature are not in line with the priorities of this district. And you know, we need a change. I think what we need is a more Democrats in the legislature. And so losing the seat is not a on the top priority of the Democratic Party. But I'm proud of my record of support. I'm proud of all the endorsements I've gotten from across the community. I'm proud of the a broad base of support financially. I've been working, knocking on doors and working the community as well. I fully expect this to be a competitive race. But I've got the proven track record. I've got the support of the state employees, the teachers, firefighters, police officers, the realtors, small business, all of whom have put their confidence in me, and I'm hopeful that will carry the day.
Okay. My next question is for you, Ms. Ausley. You know, voters in November in this state and in this community are going to decide once again whether to legalize medical marijuana in the state of Florida and put that into the Florida Constitution for all time. Are you voting yes or no, and why are you voting the way you're voting on that?
I'm voting yes. I worry a little bit about the Colorados of the world, that it opens the door, but on the for that question, the answer is yes.
Okay. Jim Messer?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. When my son was a 19-year-old and a freshman in college, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. My son is here with me today. He went through chemotherapy, lost 40 pounds, was weak as a kitten, and was nauseous to an extent that I didn't even understand. The antiemetic drugs that he had would keep him from vomiting, but they wouldn't stop him from being nauseous. If I had been able to do something to help him, I would have done anything in the world. We have got to get this legislation passed so that it helps the people that need it the most. Now, does that mean that we need to have the Colorado or California model where we have a head shop on every corner? No, we don't need that. But we do need medical marijuana to help the people that need it the most. And I will stand up and be one of the first to vote for that.
Okay. Jim Messer, and this is another one of those kind of either-or questions, and so you may take exception, but again, I've covered every session of the Florida legislature since 1988, and I know that what I'm about to ask is the way things often come down on the floor of the Florida House of Representatives. For most of the past two decades, the Republican philosophy in the House, not so much in the Senate, but in the House, has been to make tax cuts the number one priority. That is, that cutting taxes on Floridians is more important than other issues like raising teacher salaries or putting more money into health care. Which, in your opinion, is more important, cutting taxes or putting more money into programs, and why?
I think that the legislature has an obligation to be very careful with the money that we receive. It comes from the citizens of the state of Florida, and to the extent that the taxes can be cut and maintain essential services and provide the benefits to public employees and teachers that we need, then we do that. But it's always going to be a balancing act, and taxes are the cost of a civilized society. I understand that. But the money that we bring in, if we can return it back to the people in the state, is money that we should return to the people in the state. Same time, we've got to be careful with the money we receive, and we've got to spend it carefully on education. We have to spend it carefully on health care, and we have to be good stewards of that money. So it is a loaded question because it's not an either or. We've got to return the money we can to the taxpayers, but we've also got to provide the essential services that every person in this room deserves.
Lorraine Ausley, what's your view? Cutting taxes or more money for services?
We need an entire review of our tax system, and it's the tax cuts, it's the tax exemptions. We've all heard the ostrich feed and the skyboxes and all the things that are exempted. We haven't in a long time taken a real look at those exemptions. And really our budget it tells you what the priority of the state is. And if we're deciding that we're going to give tax breaks to certain industries over supporting public education, early childhood education, pay increase for state employees, which is only $263 million, which one of those tax cuts could take over, then that's what we're saying. And so I think we got to look at the whole piece here.
Okay. My next question, I think, is for you first, Ms. Ausley, and that is this. This has been a civil debate and a civil discussion, and that's a good thing. And And I want to keep it civil, and we will keep it civil, but I want you to help the voters of District 9 a little bit. And here's the question. Looking at yourself and looking at your opponent, what would you say, how would you crystallize this the answer to this question? What most distinguishes you from your opponent in this race?
My record. The fact that I have been there, I have been successful, and I have, a proven track record of doing what I say I'm going to do and delivering as a member of the minority party for this district. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Jim Messer, same question. What most distinguishes you from Ms. Ausley in this race?
Her record. And I mean that in that she has a record of being a legislator who was there for 8 years and who was able to get some things done but was not able to get the things done that we need done for this district. And I don't bring to this seat any sort of obligation to anyone outside of this district. I don't bring to this seat any obligation to, for instance, Teamsters from Miami or for payday lenders or folks like big agriculture or big power companies who have made a lot of contributions to her campaign. What I bring to the district is a love for the people in the district. I have spent my life working to get to a point to where I could volunteer for the people in the district. And I think that the fact that I come in with a clean slate and I can go to work for the people of the district and only go to work for the people of the district is what sets me aside or sets me apart from my opponent.
Okay. Loran Ausley, he made very specific references to specific campaign contributions, so I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that.
Well, I'd like to just ask, what is it that you would have done in those 8 years that I didn't do?
Well, I would have been a Republican, and I would have been in the majority, and I would have been able to get things done instead of giving speeches from the back row. That's what I would have been able to do.
So are you suggesting that the work for state employees and the support for children and all those things I did as a member of the minority party were not what you would have done in the legislature?
No, absolutely not. And I think that you're absolutely dedicated to what you were doing in the legislature. When you were in the legislature, the metrics were much closer. There were a lot more Democrats and there were a lot fewer Republicans, and there was an opportunity to move things along. We're at the biggest difference now, I believe, in the history of the legislature with 81 Republicans and 39 Democrats. What I'm saying to you is that in the 8 years since you've served, the metrics have changed enough to where Democrats are not given the opportunity to get things done. What I'm saying is that for the citizens of District 9, if we want to get the benefits that the citizens here deserve, that we need a voice that is working for all of us, who grew up here, who walks like us, talks like us, thinks like us, and can be in the majority and get things done.
Okay, I'm going to let Loran Ausley respond to the contention. You're taking issue with his cut.
Well, there were several years where we had numbers below 40. So the numbers, and frankly, I think the numbers are moving in the direction of Democrats around the state. And, I would say, and I said it earlier, I think what will best move forward the issues that are important to this district is not having another Republican sitting at the table that is leaving people behind without health insurance and that is failing our public schools and that is putting guns on campus and playing political games with Planned Parenthood. We need more votes on the other side that are going to push those issues from the other side.
May I respond?
Yes, briefly.
You're not going to have someone who's sitting in the chamber that's supporting guns on campus, that's supporting defunding Planned Parenthood. What you're going to have is someone who's in the majority speaking for the citizens of this district, who is also speaking to issues that are common to everyone that's here. So when you characterize me as being someone at the table who will be pushing for guns on campus, that's incorrect. When you say that you're going to have someone at the table who's pushing to defund Planned Parenthood, that's not true. I'm going to be working for the people here, and I will be providing a balance of a voice within the majority.
Okay.
And I guess the only thing I would say is that I'm not suggesting that you are pushing forward those views, but if your argument is that you have a seat at the table, that's what that table is pushing for. And it's hard to get a seat at the table if you are not walking in lockstep with what the majority of this leadership believes. And that's, I hope that someday that might be different. But today, the way that I my knowledge of the legislature and the way things happen in Florida House Representatives, if you are not walking and marching in lockstep with what the leader wants you to do, you do not have a seat at the table, and you are not in the room when they're making those decisions.
Okay, we're going to move on, but you'll have a chance in your closing statement, Jim. Jim Messer, you get this question first. You're sharing a ballot on November 8th with a guy some of us may have heard of in this room, a guy named Donald Trump. And here's the question. Are you going to enthusiastically vote for Donald Trump for President of the United States? And if so, tell us why. And if not, tell us why not.
You know, I've got to tell you, I find myself scratching my head and looking at the top of both tickets and saying, is this really the best we can do? You know, I can't support someone who disparages women, who disparages Hispanics, who disparages minorities, who disparages people in the military. I spent 6 years, and I was in Europe as a cold warrior, and he talks about the fact that we're not going to honor treaties with other nations and with NATO. No, I'm not going to enthusiastically stand up and support Donald Trump in this election.
I'm going to ask a follow-up question and ask you this question. Do you intend to vote for him?
You know, I don't see how I can. I don't, and maybe you folks can help me, because I'm having a real problem deciding who to vote for. You know, Gary, thank you. You know, John McCain, you know, I think of a quote, John McCain says, it always seems the darkest just before it turns pitch black. And I'm afraid that's where we've gotten.
Well, Ms. Ozzie, you'll have plenty of time, but since you said you're not going to vote for Donald Trump, I'm compelled to ask the obvious follow-up question. Are you voting for Hillary Clinton? Jim Messer?
I don't know. I can't figure out who has the lower unfavorability rating. I can't figure out who is more disliked. I can't figure out who would be a less trustworthy leader. I at this point, I don't know the answer to that question, other than I can't vote for Donald Trump.
Okay. If I can get you to say you're voting for Hillary, we can definitely get the Republican Party to rethink their strategy in this race. Well, the obvious question for you, Loranne Ausley, is this. Are you enthusiastically voting for Hillary Clinton, and why or why not?
Yes, I am. I'm enthusiastically supporting Clinton Kane. And I will start by saying Tim Kaine is a personal friend of mine, and I'm very excited about his selection to be on this ticket. I am a supporter of Hillary Clinton because I, her consistent and passionate support for children. She spent years in the trenches doing the hard work needed to prepare her to lead this country, and I will proudly cast my vote for Clinton Kaine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So next question is for you first, Loranne Ausley. And while I don't know that this subject is ever going to change, it's certainly a discussion worth having because of what's happened to the legislature in the state, and that's the subject of term limits. The voters of this state spoke clearly and resoundingly in 1992. 77% of the voters in the state voted for an 8-year term limit on members of the Florida legislature, and that's still the law of the land today. And we've seen, you know, in my career, we've seen rampant turnover in the Florida House. And we've seen the Florida House basically become a training ground for wannabe senators. And the Senate side of the building is where a lot of the experience and a lot of the adulthood is in the Florida legislature. The question is this. What specific changes would you support and be willing to vote for to change the term limit system in the Constitution of this state?
I'd change. I think we should do away with term limits. I don't see the political will for that to happen. I think we tried to change it to move it to 12 years, which would have been better. I agree. One of the worst things that has happened to the state of Florida is the passage of term limits. And I know maybe some folks needed to move on, but the voters always had the opportunity to vote them out if they didn't agree with what they were doing. What we have now is a system that is run by staff and lobbyists. There's very few things that pass this chamber that you can't point specifically to the lobbyists, and I'm sorry some of you are in the room, but where that came from. And part of that is because you have legislators who haven't been here long enough to understand that that's not the way it's supposed to happen. I referred to a broken political system. I believe part of the problem is term limits, and I'm saddened by the fact that I don't think that will change.
Okay, Jim Messer, again, specifically, what would you change, if anything, about the system we have with term limits in the state?
Well, the political reality is that we have term limits. And the political reality is that 77% of the voters in the state of Florida want term limits. So term limits aren't going to be going away anytime soon. They're not going to be changed to 12 years. And in the absence of saying that we need to make term limits longer, then what we need to do is we need to make sure that we get the best possible person in there who can make the biggest difference. And again, I go back to, with respect to our situation, with a super minority of Democrats and a super majority of Republicans, then we need someone who grew up here with us, who walks like us and talks like us and thinks like us, and who knows that what is good for you is good for me, is good for the district, and work within the system. We can rail at the system and shout at the machine, but we have to work within the system that we have. And with 8-year term limits, I can work within that system and be an effective legislator.
Okay. Jim Messer, this, of course, question is for you, and it's a biographical one for both of you. Here's the question. Putting aside law school, you work in a law firm and all your civic activities, tell us and tell the audience here about something that's happened to you in your personal life, either as a child or as an adult, that has defined you and shaped you and is why you'd be a good public servant for this district.
I think that one of the things that, that has defined me and shaped me is the 6 years that I spent in the Army. When I was in the Army, I learned leadership and I learned teamwork. I was an operations officer for a helicopter aviation company, and I had to determine and make work the operations of 30 helicopters spread over 3 airfields in 3 cities and with 150 different personnel. That gave me the opportunity to understand planning, and it gave me the opportunity to understand cooperation, and it gave me the opportunity to understand how to get things done. I've taken that same training that I received in the Army, I've taken it into my life as an attorney. I'll take that same training, that same leadership, that same teamwork, and those same communication skills, I'll take those into the legislature. I'll be able to work with the folks that are there. And by the way, I can work across the aisle, not just across the aisle, but across chambers with Senator Bill Monford, who's been a good friend of mine for a long time. And together, a Republican and a Democrat can work cooperatively for this district.
So most of you know that our son Will was born while I was in the legislature, very prematurely at 22 weeks gestation, weighing a little bit over a pound. And there's nothing in your life that can prepare you for something like that. But it, you know, thanks be to God, he is today a thriving 13-year-old, and thanks to all of you who were there with us, including Jim and Lori, every step of the way, and with prayer and the hospital and everything else. But what as a member of the legislature, as two lawyers, my husband Bill is here, we realized we were facing a system here with a kid that could potentially have some serious disadvantages in life, and we didn't know where to turn. So it gave me the firsthand knowledge of what parents go through on a daily basis of dealing with the system and trying to get the best for their children. And I've recommitted myself to kids and to kids with disabilities. And so it's truly been defining for us. And thank you.
All right, thanks. Thank you both for your thoughtful answers and responsive answers today. We've come to the point in the proceedings for the closing statements. Jim Messer, you have the first closing statement.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming here to Tiger Bay and giving us the opportunity to speak to you. I spent my entire life working to try and prepare myself to get to a point to where I could continue to give back publicly to the people of this district. And I started off in life in service, started off serving my country for 6 years, and then I went on to law school. And since then, I've worked in the community. I've been the president of a number of organizations, the Tallahassee Bar, the Tallahassee Exchange Club, the American Cancer Society, and I've served as a mentor in Leon High School. And my wife and I have had the opportunity to put together a charity that feeds at-risk children during the summer. I'm ready to go and serve in the legislature. I'm ready to go and work for all of us here so that we can have the representation that we need to have in the legislature. I'm ready to dedicate the time and go volunteer and stand on that wall for everyone that's here. And it's a great opportunity and an awesome opportunity, but it's an awesome responsibility. As I said before, I am a Republican, but I'm not defined only by being a Republican. I'm defined by the people that are here in this room, by the people that are my friends, and by the city that I grew up in. I want to represent everyone in the district, Democrat, Independent, Republican as well, and I want to go carry the flag for everyone in the room. I can do that, and that's why I'm the best choice to be your next representative in District 9.
Thank you. And, you know, we all love this community that has given us so much. For me, it is about our son, Will, and leaving him a better Florida than I found it. I have a proven track record as someone who is an honest broker, knows how the legislature works. I know how to bring people together. And at the end of the day, I think that's what people want, someone who's willing to tell it like it is, roll up their sleeves, work hard, solve problems. That's what I've done for my entire life, as a lawyer, as a community volunteer, as a legislator, as a parent. And that's what I will do again as your representative for District 9. So I humbly ask for your support and your vote in November. Thank you.
Before I surrender the podium to Mr. Burtman here, I just want to say thanks to both candidates. And I travel the state a lot every election cycle. And if every community had as attentive an audience as you and candidates as conscientious as these two, we'd have a better government and a better legislature. So thanks very much.
Folks, let's give a big round of applause for our moderator. You did a great job.
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the Capital Tiger Bay Club luncheon meeting of September 9th, 2016. This program was recorded at the Donald L. Tucker Civic Center in Tallahassee. Please join us again next time for another luncheon meeting of the Capital Tiger Bay Club on WFSU-FM.